Let us go to the land of Anne Frank. And joining me right now is Europe correspondent Knaan Lidor. Knaan, how are you?
Hi, I'm very well. Thank you, Kathy. How are you?
Yeah, I'm fine, thank you. But also quite concerned about what's happening in Europe in terms of the flavor of Europe. Europe used to have individual cultures. We're seeing countries that have lost that individual culture, the personality. They're having to change things to accommodate a people that were once migrants there. And the news coming out of the Netherlands today, because you've lived in the Netherlands, is that the Dutch have summoned Israeli ambassador and they've imposed a travel ban on Smotrich and Ben Gvir. What's your thought on that? Can you offer us any insight, Knaan?
Well, diplomatically speaking, this is not such an unusual step. Actually, Canada, the UK, Australia, Britain have taken this step along with other European countries, Slovenia, just in the previous few weeks. And this is sort of to punish Israel for not surrendering, not succumbing to Hamas's demands in negotiations, and for the humanitarian crisis, which the European lay at Israel's feet. So this is not some excessive move by the Netherlands. It's in line with the mainstream policies of several European leaders.
You know, it's also like they've gone above and beyond. Dutch intelligence report yesterday, they released it, actually, it's identified Israel as a foreign threat. Did you see that report, Knaan?
That is also inaccurate, Kathy. There was no mention of Israel being a threat,
yes,
but it was a reference to Israel trying to undermine integrity of information. And that is a reference to a report that Israel's diaspora ministry issued about the November 7 and 8 pogroms, as many Dutch Jews call them. That's when the dozens of Muslim and Arab men went into the streets of Amsterdam hunting for Jews, as they called them, meaning the fans of the Maccabi soccer team in Israel that was in town for a friendly match with the Ajax.
Yes, yes. I mean,
I'm coming off as an apologist for the Netherlands. You know, not so bad, downplaying. No, actually, you know, I left 4 years ago with my two children and wife, and with mixed feelings, really. And just seeing what's happening now on the streets of the Netherlands, there is not a day that I am not relieved that I left there on time, because life has become impossible for a Jew who does not wish to go incognito and actively hide their identity.
Have you been back in the last 4 years?
Yes, I have several times. And naively, last time was in May. There was the May 1st march, which is usually, you know, a left-leaning event. But I'd been away for 4 years, so I didn't really gauge the atmosphere very well. And when I saw them carrying Palestinian flags, I thought, oh, well, you know, I have a flag at our old place of Israel. I'm going to express a counter voice. And I was mobbed by 10 men and hit, my clothes torn, police had to extract me. that's how out of touch I was with the sentiment on the street.
That is terrible. I mean, I can remember when we first started speaking, actually, and you were reporting about the Netherlands and how wonderful this was and how wonderful that was, and it really was wonderful. And that was maybe 5 years ago. How did we get to this point, Knaan?
Well, if I remember correctly, whenever I reported on something negative, you posed the question quite poignantly. do you plan on staying there? How can you stay there? A number of times you questioned me, you needled me like that.
And, don't make this my fault.
No, but this is indicative of something. If we want to understand the mentality of the Jews who stay there, it's like the frog in the slowly cooking pot. It's very difficult to see the whole picture come together when you're inside. Now, after November 8th, it's become much clearer. And just yesterday, I spoke to a Dutch Jew who happens to be living in Antwerp. And, he's a leader of the community, Michel Kotick. He told me, we're not quite there. We're at the point when I say we have to leave, but we're certainly on a path. It's getting there. We're near that point. And when community leaders say that, then you know that the problem has reached terminal phase. And another indication, by the way, we often speak about anti-Semitic incidents, but then we count them in reports, in annual reports. Oh, there was a 300% increase. There was a 200% increase. But in my experience, the lived experience of anti-Semitism is determined by accountability. So you can have countries like France or Germany that have thousands of incidents annually, but where authorities really intervene and follow through with perpetrators. Or you can have countries with few incidents, like Ireland, where there is absolutely no accountability. Last month, a senior lecturer at the University of Limerick assaulted a student who showed the Israeli flag. He did it on camera. We broke the story at JNS. I couldn't get the university to respond to a query. The Ministry of Education, the Ombudsman for Higher Education, none. There is zero follow-up. You don't even count. That's the terminal phase.
Exactly. So you know that there was that story earlier this week, or was it last week, end of last week, about the French kids on a plane. Right, and the airline came out afterwards and they say these are the things that the airline, that the kids were doing. Do you know what story I'm talking about? These were the kids. It was the end of last week. The airline has come out quite vociferously saying these are the things that they did wrong. And my question is, why an anti-Semite wouldn't do that? An act of anti-Semitism would ignore it because they see you as nothing.
It's worse than ignoring. Actually, the Minister of Transportation defended the airline and criticized the Israeli brats. They were not Israeli. Yeah? These were French Jewish kids.
Yeah.
So you have total backing. You have the total backing of the government, of the media. Why wouldn't you kick off 50 Jewish kids if they were a little bit rowdy? Why wouldn't you?
Okay, but the thing is if they're rowdy, it doesn't matter whether they are Jewish or they're not Jewish. You are absolutely entitled to kick them off the plane. And you're not going to sit tight. If it is anti-Semitism, you know what? You're not going to justify it. You're just going to say, it's not, we don't owe you an explanation. They wouldn't justify it.
Yeah.
Exactly, it would be open season.
That's another quote by Michel Kotick from Antwerp, the leader of the Jewish Information and Documentation Center. He said, it's open season on us. We cannot get a sitting. We cannot have, we don't have an ear at the prosecutor's office. We are completely excommunicated.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm actually on the government of the Netherlands website, and they've got all their policies, right? So you can go and have a look at Israel and the Palestinian territories, they call them. It says Netherlands supports a two-state solution. What happens to countries where there is no longer, most Israelis don't believe in a two-state solution. Would you agree with that statement?
Well, surveys do suggest it, but this could be the shock of the October 7th event. They didn't support it either before Ariel Sharon showed up. And so it really depends on who's presenting and who's. I wouldn't hasten to say that it's dead in the minds of Israelis. There's still a big chunk of the electorate who supports parties that reivindicate the two-state solution.
Yeah. All right. So do you still have friends and family who are living in the Netherlands?
Fewer and fewer. My wife, who was born in the Netherlands, kind of fell out of touch with her local friends. There are innuendos on WhatsApp messages. I hope you can stand behind your choices, as though she married a jihadist and went to Syria to fight for ISIS. There are barriers that come through. My close relative of mine won't look me in the eye after October 7. It's very complicated, and it's quite hopeless. We don't even broach the subject. We don't discuss it, but it's there. It's the elephant in the room.
Yeah. Dov says Holland will fall quickly to the Muslims. Hasn't it already, Dov? It has a relatively small population, and Muslims will conquer it from the womb. The Dutch will never see it coming. I'm not sure that hasn't happened already. I mean, a lot of countries in Europe, and that this kind of goes back to what Donald Trump was alluding to when he spoke to Keir Starmer, and he made the statement. In fact, it wasn't to Keir Starmer, it was to the British media. And he said, you guys need to stop taking in migrants because you're going to find yourselves in big trouble. And while people are laughing and ha 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 Donald Trump, I think that there's a lot of truth in that. Because the nature of Islam is to change the environment in which it finds itself. So if you are in Belgium, you're going to change the Belgian culture, the Belgian environment. And if you don't change it, they're going to shout death to Belgium. That's how it works. Am I the only person seeing this? Am I losing my mind, Kanaan? Please say yes. Please tell me that tell me everything's not as bad as I'm seeing it in my mind.
No, I have to return to the frog analogy, to the frog metaphor. Actually, and because it's happening mostly on the local scale, primarily mayors, Muslim mayors. Holland has four of them in large cities now. They work on non-national issues, as heroes of integration. And so they do see it, but they celebrate it.
Yeah. Kanaan, that is where we leave it. And I hope to speak to you about better things in the future. Really, I do. Let's try and work on that.
Yes,
safe travels, Kanaan Lidor. Kanaan Lidor, he's a Europe correspondent, and just Google him. Go and have a look at what he's reporting on. He's always absolutely fascinating.